Oh, and then the scene after is just like this quiet night scene with this couple talking intimately about their lives and about their futures and kind of like what they want from each other in the best way. And I guess like now at this point in my life, I'm getting older and I'm going to graduate college soon. I'm looking for a job in my field. I guess just like being able to talk to someone and like put it all out there and being having that reciprocated. I don't know. That was just a beautiful scene for me.
Yeah, no, those, both of those scenes I also would have picked if I was asked the same question. They're beautiful scenes. So do you guys think that there's anything that you would have done differently, like after seeing the show and you like thinking back, like, oh, what, like, is there anything design wise that you would have changed if you had the hindsight you did after seeing the show?
I guess just be more vocal. There's nothing. There's no such thing as like a bad idea. There's only strong and weak choices. Mm-hmm. So like you can put all the ideas out there that you want with that mindset. And all you can say is maybe this is not the strongest choice and take some stuff away. But I found myself holding back a little bit, but I feel like if I did this piece again, I would kind of put more art out there and maybe cut it down a little bit, but there would just be a lot more to pull from. Mm-hmm. But I just kind of did what we did.
Yeah, I would same line, just probably see what more could happen in the span of time. You know, we were doing this on top of classes and stuff. You only have so much time to do things, but probably just see what else can happen.
Was it a hard balance keeping doing design for a show and also keeping up with classes?
Totally.
Can't even imagine.
Like I said, like this is like one of my senior semesters. I'm stacked up with classes. I'm working and I'm trying to design this piece. It was very much a pleasure to work with Derek on this process, because some days I wasn't feeling it and Derek would pick up, and then some days I feel like a lot was going on and I kind of had to take an extra step. But we kind of got through the process together, and I guess that's the best thing we could have done.
Yeah, having someone to rely on to be like, I have class at this time and this has to get done. Is there any way like there's time for you to do this thing? It's like balance is such a hard thing to get perfect, but
it's something we're still learning as students.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. And I think that designing an entire show is such an amazing learning experience that you can get at the school. And is there anything else you'd like to add, like talking about the experience?
I guess I can't wait for the next experience that I get to design. It was such a pleasure here being a student at New Paltz and get to design a show such early on in the semester. Because I felt like I got to work on it all summer and be involved with the show as much as I can before like classes got really heavy. Mm. And it was just such a great experience, and I can't wait for Shrek in the spring, because I have a part behind the scenes on that doing sound. I'm not designing. The sound design is by Dean Mahoney and his assistant, Oz. But I'm very excited to see what that student and Dean create, because now I have like the ideas of what I'm looking for to see what they do differently and how they use the space and what their level of immersion is like.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like I learned so much that my brain is still trying to process everything I've learned. But now I have a real feel of like how the process happens. And speaking of shout outs, Trouble of Mind opens next weekend, which is another show.
Yeah. So if you're, if you're around, SUNY New Paltz, you should totally come by and see Trouble in Mind, you said it's called?
Yes.
You see Trouble in Mind. I don't know. I'm definitely going to get a ticket. I'm going to try my best to. But yeah, thank you so much for taking time out of your day to just kind of sit in and let me talk to you guys about the show.
Thank you so much for having us. It was such a pleasure.
Of course. Of course. So, that'll be it for us from the night. On the Edge News staff are our directors Alyssa Roldan and Patrick Kelly. Our sources for the Edge News brief have been provided by The New York Times, The Gothamist, The Times Union, The Daily Freeman, BBC, CNN, and the New Paltz Oracle. Stay tuned for more cutting edge music. From the entire Edge News team, have a beautiful weekend.
tonight. Many a moon coming, shine a light. Taking her clothes off, it break my mind. Taking her clothes off, gonna take off mine.
Start getting my fashion advice from somewhere else other than the website of a mid-tier suburban Boston classic alt-rock radio station. It's all on you now, SUNY New Paltz, WFNP 88.7, The Edge. Don't let me down.
We won't let you down, Mr. Colbert, because SUNY New Paltz is the best-dressed college campus, and we have an awesome radio station, WFNP The Edge. Rosendale, 88.7 FM.
Hello, you're listening to WFNP Rosendale, 88.7 FM, The Edge. My name is Maura, and you are listening to Nowadays. And I have a very special guest on with me tonight, my friend John.
Hello.
Hi, John.
How are
you? So, Patrick is missing from the show today, so I have a lovely guest on. But Patrick will be back next week. But so, John, welcome to the show. What is so nowadays?
So, it's been a very turbulent year. There's been a lot of stuff going on.
Absolutely.
A lot of good movies and stuff.
A lot of good movies. Yeah, we've had a really good, really good slate for movies this year.
Last thing I watched was Different Man. That was really good.
I saw a Different Man. Yes. So for those who don't know, A Different Man is a new A24 release. It's about with Sebastian Stan, Adam Pearson, and Renaud Renesive. It's sort of like The Substance for boys.
Kind of.
Yeah, it's a really weird, like, dark thriller, psychological. But it was really good. Like, the ending, like... It's been a really good year for movies. I could talk all about it. But I kind of want to talk about the flops this year. Like, what has low-key been awful? And the first thing that comes to mind for me was Maxine.
Ooh, yeah. That was a really disappointing one.
No, yeah. For anybody that knows me and knows, like, my movie taste, like, I was obsessed with X, even more obsessed with Pearl. We actually saw Pearl together.
Yeah.
And I was, like, hyped as heck for Maxine. I was like, this is gonna be amazing. They had a makeup kit. I was like, oh, I'm all over this. And then the movie came out and it was absolute garbage. Yeah. It was so bad.
People walked out of my screening of it.
Seriously?
Yeah, so I went to an early screening that
I did
was
too.
Like a week before it came out. And I paid like extra to go see it, and people were walking out of
that's
the movie.
That's insane.
Like, that's how disappointed people were visually.
I saw it a week early too, and at my theater, the movie starts at 7:20. So me and my friend get there like 7:16. We get food. We get in there at 7:20. We walk in, like 5 minutes of the movie had passed. Like they started the movie early, so I was already like, what the heck? Like I came here, like we got on time. Like what do you mean I've missed so much of the movie already? But we were like, we'll stick it out. It's fine. Like we can watch the 5 minutes like somewhere else. Like we'll look it up on Wikipedia. But it just kept getting worse and worse. And we dressed up. Like, I was in, like, the full Maxine fit. I was so excited. And I had to just sit there while, like, my dreams were, like, crumbling around me.
Because
all I knew, I was like, all my friends are going to turn at me and be like, I told you so. I told you it looked bad.
I remember even, like, when it came out, when, like, the first thing I remember seeing when I walked out of the theater was that you didn't like it. And I was like, if Maura doesn't like it, they really, like,
screwed up.
Like, how did you...
Because, like, I'm a diehard for, like, Mia Goth in that movie, the direction they have, like, everything. And it had Sophie Thatcher in it, who I'm a big fan of. And for it to, like, just be that awful, I was like... Because it just completely destroys the character of Maxine. Like, it completely, like... Her whole thing is, like, from the start of X and, like, kind of, like... called back to in Pearl is like, I want to be a star. Like my whole dream is to like not be a porn star anymore. Like I want to be a movie star. Like I'm gonna go big, nothing's in my way type of thing, like whatever. And though she gets cast in the movie, woohoo, she never works. It's like the whole time her butt is never on set. Like she's too busy running around the Warner Brothers studio like trying to shoot Kevin Bacon, and I'm like, get to work, what are you doing? And then they're like, ugh. And she did amazing. I'm like, no, she didn't. She just had a GTA 6 shootout at the Hollywood sign. Like, her butt was not on that set. Why was she not working?
Yeah, she was acting very out of character.
Yes.
And I think that the movie, like, had a very, like, tight script.
Yeah.
And, like, a smaller scale story. But so many celebrities in the cast. And the cast just didn't, like, jive with it.
Like,
didn't fit with it.
It's so weird because X is... in my mind, like, the same thing as Maxine. Like, it's kind of, like, still hearkening to an
smaller
era. Or it's a small set. It's, like... But... And it's weird, because, like, it had... X had Kid Cudi, Jenna Ortega, Brittany Snow. Like, it had a bunch of big names. But it felt more put together and more structured than the Maxine did. Because I think they were just too focused on, like, giving her all these aspects. Like, no offense, I didn't need to know about her best friend. Like, I didn't care. Like,
it was also probably rushed, too.
It was super rushed.
Very consecutive.
And, like, I didn't need to know about the cops. I'm like, peace and love. Like, I don't care. Who cares?
Exactly.
And the crowd goes mild. It's like, who was caring? But that was a really big disappointment. What else?
What about something good?
Something good.
The summer.
Oh, the summer. Oh. I feel like the one that comes to mind right now is Alien Romulus. I'm going to look at the letterbox.
Okay, end of the summer?
Yeah, end of the summer, but I can't remember what I saw this summer, because I liked Long Legs, but I know a bunch of people did not like Long Legs.
I wasn't the biggest fan of Long Legs.
Yeah.
A little disappointing.
It was definitely disappointing, and I just think, I personally think that's because of the marketing. That was just my opinion on how they marketed it, and like how like the public was kind of like those who had seen it before,
because
they were like, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen, and like it was spooky. Nicolas Cage looked really freaky, like he looked like he belonged in Dress to Impress. But I was also just kind of, once they were like, it's the devil, like hell Satan, I was like, oh brother, like not this crap again.
Yeah, I think it's, like, a very interesting idea, and the twist was, like, well, you know, it was well done, but I think that they could have done so much more with the idea.
I think so, too. I think it was just overhyped by people, like, I think you had the expectation, like, you were gonna, like, piss your pants in the theater by how scared you were.
Yeah.
And no one was doing that. Like, no offense, Oz, but, like, sorry. Maybe your next movie will be better.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think he's already working on his next movie.
No, his next movie's coming out in February, The Monkey.
That's
I'm actually very excited for that. Yes,
story.
Yes. I'm really excited for that. I hope it'll be good.
Yeah.
But I'm going to keep my expectations as low as they can get, because when I get really excited about something, I usually hate it. Like Trap.
Keep your expectations balanced.
We're going to keep them balanced. And speaking of keeping expectations balanced, we're going to go to break. But we'll be back to talk more about Trap and other bad movies, a.k.a. The Room.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Okay, forest animals. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow, have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. River, how's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man.
I love it. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. Okay. Squirrel.
The forest has been preparing just for you. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
All right, you're listening to WFMP, Rosendale 88.7 The Edge. Welcome back to Nowadays. So, as I mentioned, we're going to talk a little bit about The Room and just bad movies in general. So, what was your first experience watching The Room? Like, when did you first watch it? What was the vibe?
I honestly don't remember first watching it. It just has been a constant presence in my life. I remember being young and watching it, probably like late middle school, early high school, and I just, it constantly, like, every time I watch it,
I just laugh so hard. Do you remember liking it when you first saw
it? Yeah, I understood it. I thought it was funny.
I feel like watching it, like, middle school age is a perfect age to watch it at, because I feel like you're more prone to, like, liking it and not thinking about it, like, critically.
Yeah, and then I watched it a few times again over the years, and I learned to, like, kind of appreciate it in a weird way. Mm-hmm. And, like, I think it's, like, a unironically, like, very good movie. If you think about, like, the craftsmanship behind it and the story, and, like...
What story? Like, so I just saw it recently. Like, I watched it for the first time ever, I think a few weeks ago with my friends. I watched The Disaster Artist right after it. But I think I liked it because, like, I like bad movies, like, but I think it was still awful. Like, genuinely, like... But I also think it's, like, I don't know, like, I think it's awful, but I think it speaks to, like, how you can get a movie like that to be made. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a crazy thing to meet, because in my opinion, The Room has, like, not really much of a plot. There's kind of just stuff happening all over the place, and they, like, oh my god, she has cancer, and never go to that plot line ever again. The drug plot line, like, just kind of, like, dropping. But for some reason, like, after I watched it, I was like, wait, this was, like, the greatest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, and it's like it's even more interesting when you go behind the scenes, because he bought all of the tech to film the movie, so all the cameras and stuff Tommy Wiseau like actually owned,
and
which
it's
is
crazy.
Absurd in Hollywood because of how expensive they are.
And like he was a first time like anything. This was their first time, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm buying all those."
And it's the story behind it. All the people working on it just said it was the strangest like production ever. And I really am a big fan of the book, actually, The Disaster Artist, written by Greg Sestero. Yeah. And that's what the movie is based off. The movie is very good. The movie, The Disaster Artist.
Yeah, I really like it.
But the book is what really dives into the context behind The Room and, like, the story behind it. And it makes it just funnier and more interesting. And there's a story behind literally every single scene.
I just think, like, Tommy Wiseau is such, like, a weird character because he feels, like, fictional. Because our friend Nate, he does this bit on, like, imitating Tommy Wiseau in the Joker video, like, Tommy Wiseau as the new Joker. So, like, I've always known about him, but, like, watching him on screen, I was like, this man is actually, like, I can't even put into words.
And the mystery, too, right?
Yeah.
Like, what's his deal? Where
like,
does he have
like, how does nobody
from?
Know any of this? Like, nobody's ever, like, not even, like, a government official, like, broken the rules a little bit. Like, who is this man?
Yeah, really.
But I love the scene. I love, especially, like, the end of the Disaster Artist. He's, like, a play-by-play of, like, all the best scenes. But I love when they do the scene where it's like, I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark. Like, that scene is the funniest thing to me.
They had to shoot it, like,
like, 50 times to get that. Like, that was the end product of, like, a whole day's worth of shooting that. Like, that's so crazy to me.
They play football.
They play football for no reason. Greg shaves for no reason. Danny,
an
like...
An actor switches midway through because of some drama behind the scenes.
I know. And, like, the whole breast cancer. And then, like, Danny's like, oh, my God, I bought drugs. And then they're like, okay. Like, it's the weirdest thing ever. But
bring it back as a mini-series.
Honestly, yeah, let's get more into this. Like, bring Tommy Wiseau back.
Yeah, bring him back.
I think it's
HBO.
His time. HBO, get on this. I know you love a docuseries. I know you love making little mini-series.
No,
get on
not
this.
A docuseries. Give him his, like, let him write something. Let him create again.
Let him create again. Yeah. Let him cook.
Yeah.
We're going to let him cook. But I feel like The Room is an example, in my opinion, as like a movie that's bad, but it's good. It's like you can have a fun time watching this. Well, I feel like especially this summer, we've had, and even this year, we've had so many movies come out that I like think are going to be good, and then they're awful. Like, they're actually the worst thing I've ever seen. And not in a fun way. Not in a like, oh, this is kind of campy.
But you wasted time.
Like, no, it's fine. Like, I'm looking at my phone like, can somebody please get Josh Hartnett off my screen? I don't care anymore. Trap.
I did not see that.
I saw it because I was really excited for it. I was like, ooh. Because I remember seeing like a little sound bite of like M. Night talking about it and being like, oh, like, it's like if Silence of the Lambs took place at Taylor Swift concert. I was like, whoa, like, this sounds like a really good plot. Like, I'm intrigued. I like the trailer. And I saw it and I was like, oh, like, this is definitely not good, but you know, it's going to end soon. And it just kept going. And then it kept going. Like, this man did like 50 like plot twists, like escaping every which way. And I'm like, peace and love. He cannot be this smart. Like, he escaped from the middle of like a limousine through a crowd of people. Like, he changed from a SWAT gear to put like a sweatshirt and like a baseball cap on, and nobody noticed. I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And like, peace and love to M. Night, because I know he is very good.
He has a good heart.
He has a good heart, and like, he does really care about making movies, and like, he treats his cast and crew with such respect. So I do respect him for just being like an upstanding director, considering, you know,
there's a lot of bad ones,
especially with what we've seen come out about Francis Ford on the set of Megalopolis. So it is nice. Ooh. But I'm like, can you be a good guy and also make good movies? Like, have you thought about it?
Apparently
I don't know.
Not.
Think about it. Because, you know, I can only defend you so far before, like, I'm not watching Trap again. Sorry. Trap is now on HBO Max for streaming.
He hasn't, his past few haven't been great.
No, no. And it's weird because I feel like people are into more weird stuff recently. Like, Beau is Afraid. Like, that was really odd.
I don't know. I feel like that was divisive.
It was divisive, but a lot of people liked it more than they liked, I feel like, a lot of M. Night stuff.
Yeah,
maybe it's just because he's bad.
No, you're right.
Maybe that's just his problem. Sorry. But I don't know, because Ari Aster did Beau is Afraid, right?
Yes.
But yeah, I think, well, a little bit more respected than M. Night. No offense.
I'm very excited for the new Nosferatu movie coming out. I know you're not. That's not your.
Every time that trailer comes on before a movie, like, I kind of like scream to myself a little bit because I'm so over it. It's Jover.
So good. I'm sorry. I'm gonna be seated on Christmas Eve.
I want to see it. Also, the lineup for Christmas is crazy. Have you seen it?
No, I just know that one coming.
Nosferatu, Baby Girl, The Brutalist. There's something else coming, but like those are the three like on the same day. I'm like, that's an insane lineup. I will be seeing Baby Girl. I will not be seeing Nosferatu. But I don't know. It's like I want to be pleasantly surprised because it does look good. And I like vampires. But I just cannot stand Lily Rose Depp. I cannot stand her.
These are
no
valid
offense.
Criticisms. But I see a vibe. I love vampires.
And it's Robert Eggers, and I do love his stuff besides Last Night in Soho.
That was not him more. That was Edgar Wright.
Sorry. That was that was unnecessary slander.
I'm sorry.
No, it's just because the casting originally was like Lily Rose's role was originally meant to be played by Anya Taylor-Joy, hit. And I think
that's
Bill Skarsgård's role was supposed to be played by Harry Styles, flop. So like we kind of got like best of both worlds. Like I do think any situation where Harry Styles is like as far away from a movie set as possible is the best one. You know, keep on singing, dude. Stay off a movie set. Peace and love.
Yeah.
But I don't know, like. Maybe Lily Rose will prove me wrong. I just think that Anya Taylor-Joy is the real deal. Like, I'm sad she won't be in it.
I guess casting. I mean, like,
scheduling.
Yeah,
I mean,
scheduling.
I know Anya has some stupid Apple TV movie coming out with Miles Teller where she plays a Russian. So I guess congrats, but I wish you were in this movie instead. But
yes.
Whatever. Nobody asked me. Nobody asked for my opinion. But Nosferatu, I'll probably see it, but I don't know if I'll like it. Maybe
okay.
I will. Who knows? Who knows? You need to see Anora, though. That's a movie that I've been begging you to see.
List. Sean Baker is like
Sean
one of my
Baker.
Favorite filmmakers.
We can talk
just
more.
For like making like queer cinema.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
Doing, like,
and we can
stuff.
Talk more about Anora and Sean Baker. We're going to be back. We got some PSAs coming at you, but we'll be back soon.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain.
Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
There once was a boy wizard whose name was Larry Smarter.
Larry, why weren't you in Professor Dinky Doodle's mythical creature classification class?
Well, I'm taking Algebra 2 in a foreign language.
Oh, so you can talk to unicorns?
Not exactly, unless they're French.
Larry wanted to go to college, so he visited knowhowtogo.org to find the classes he really needed. Getting into college doesn't happen magically. Learn more at knowhowtogo.org.
Brought to you by the American Council on Education, Lumina Foundation for Education, and the Ad Council.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to WFMP, Rosendale 88.7 FM, The Edge, and welcome back. So talking about Enora and Sean Baker, I love Sean Baker. I think he's a wonderful director. What was your first Sean Baker movie?
Florida Project.
Mine too.
And that's like still my favorite of his work. I think a lot of people didn't like it. I'm very big into coming of age stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
Especially when you take like a fresh, different perspective on it. And like that area of Florida is such like an unsung area of the United States that doesn't get a lot of attention.
Absolutely.
And a lot of the poverty and stuff that people struggle with there doesn't get a lot of attention. So I think he's shown light on a very like interesting aspect.
And I mean the cast was amazing. Willem Dafoe is always like a pleasure to see.
One of the best.
The young girl who played Mooney was amazing. I haven't seen her in much recently, but I hope she gets back into it, because I remember she was amazing.
He's good at getting smaller actors.
Absolutely.
And actresses that...
Well, I think that was her breakout.
Yeah.
Which is insane for like a 7-year-old to be doing that type of performance.
I could be wrong, but I think he found the mom in that movie. He found her just off of Instagram.
Instagram, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and speaking of Enora, which is his latest project, which is I think it's my favorite of his.
Okay.
Mikey Madison, who plays the titular Enora, he found her from watching her performance in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Scream 5 and just called her up and was like, I have something for you. Are you interested? Like, that's literally how it happened. And I think it's one of the best movies of the year. If it's playing anywhere near you, I cannot recommend it enough. Like,
yeah, go see it.
He's great at capturing, like, just keeping you in the momentum of a moment and, like, losing yourself in it. And that's what Enora is about. Like, this girl getting swept up into this world that she knows nothing about and kind of being taken advantage of by this idiot Timothée Chalamet lookalike and then having it all come crashing down on her. And as the audience member, like, you feel that. Like, the last 10 minutes are, like, heartbreaking because it's, like, you were pumped up on, like, the adrenaline of, like, this lavish lifestyle, and the last 10 minutes are, like, the reality of, like, holy crap, like, all that happened, and she has no chance to, like, breathe or, like, process any of it. Mikey Madison is incredible. I hope she wins the Oscar, because she deserves it. Incredible performance. But I wanted to talk about something a little special, a little off-topic. So we can talk about movies, but I was with one of my friends, my dear friend Fiona.
A very important topic.
I hope everyone
just gotta preface that.
Really keeps it serious. It's a really serious manner. I was with my friend Fiona this weekend.
Stay seated,
and
everybody.
Stay seated. But for those of you who know, the Rizzler. I used to be a big hater on the Rizzler. I remember I was in your car. We were at Barnes & Noble. And someone made a comment about the Rizzler, and I was like, I don't get it. Like, he's 9 years old. How can he be the Rizzler? He's 9. And then you were like, I'm going to throw you off into the side of the road. Get out of the car. But I've come to a newfound appreciation for him because of the We Bring the Boom, the Crew version. Have you heard it?
No, I've not.
I can't play it because I think I'll get copyright, but I'm going to do some of the verses. So for context, the Rizzler is 9 years old.
You're going to sing them?
Yeah, I'm going to sing it. For context, the Rizzler is 9 years old, and this is his verse. So if the song is like We Bring the Boom, for those of you who know the know, but he comes in with this verse. You know me as the Rizzler, I'm the Panther dressed in black. Once I give your girl the wrist space, there's no chance she's coming back. I hang with AJ and Big Justice, bring the boom, you know it's on. We're like the three evolutions of Pokemon. And he's 9 years old, spitting this absolute fire, this heat.
I mean, the rhymes.
Exactly, the rhymes. Fun fact, AJ wrote the song. Like, I was like, I wonder who wrote this. AJ wrote the song. He wrote all the verses.
Wow.
I'm like, this is insane.
It's the next generation of entertainers.
Low-key, maybe. But
get him a movie. Get him a stage play.
Get him in...
Novella.
Like, I want all of it. Get him off Jimmy Fallon, because Jimmy Fallon disrespected my boy.
I need them to make, like, cookies.
They probably would... As someone said, he'll make a beautiful Christmas ornament, and I think he'll make a beautiful Christmas cookie. But as you listen to the song more, the Crew version, it's just like the RZA comes in with a straight heat. He's 9 years old. He's not even looking at the lyrics. He's just rapping into the mic. And then you got like Cousin Angelo and Jersey Joe, like flops. Their verses are flops. They can't rap for crap. And then Lulu, she's like ancient and she's rapping. I'm like, who let this 60-year-old woman rap? Like, please get her out of the studio. But another fun thing I like about this song is that they imply that they're crime fighters. Uncle Savasta, he's the father of the Rizzler. One of his verses is, "And when the sun goes down, we'll be saving you from crime." Like, that is crazy. Like, I just think it's so funny that they're like hinting, like, yeah, we're crime fighters. Like, is this our generation's Batman? Is this Gotham?
Yeah, I think New Jersey needs to be cleaned up. I think New Jersey needs to be cleaned up. You know, as a New Jersey resident,
yeah, you can say
that New Jersey has a lot of, you know, work, and I think the Rizzler and his crew they're the ones to do it.
They're the ones to do the good work. The Rizzler is low key like the equivalent to Batman. I guess that would make Jimmy Fallon his Joker, but you know, to each his own. He's probably better than Joaquin Phoenix. But speaking of New Jersey and speaking of Batman, the Penguin.
Yes, that was very good. I have not. I'm only on like episode 3.
Okay, yeah.
I have not finished that, but Colin Farrell.
Colin Farrell is great. What a transformation! Obviously, the prosthetics, the makeup is awesome. Shout out to them. Christina Milioti, is that how you pronounce her name?
Yes, Sophia.
Sophia Falcone.
Yeah.
She's so good.
Very good. And
insane performance and insanely beautiful woman.
Yeah, and it segued into them announcing like the Batman part too. Yeah, which is a very like.
Because I know, I don't think he's going to be the main villain. Like, I think they're going to...
No, he said, like, 5 scenes he's going to have.
Yeah. So I think they're most likely going to have the Joker, be the next big villain. Barry Keoghan.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Interesting casting.
I think it makes sense.
I like the casting. I don't know if he should be... I'm kind of sick of seeing him.
Yeah, and I think it's just, like, if you're a weird guy like he is, like, it makes so much sense. Like, I think it makes sense for him to be, like, the next Joker. Like, that's, like, a casting that, like, everyone on Twitter or, like, TikTok was like, I think Barry Keoghan should be the Joker. And, like, yeah, it makes sense. Like,
have you seen Killing of a Sacred Deer?
I have. That was freaky. He was very good. I think, his breakout. That was his first
ever. Wow.
Yeah. Nicole Kidman, Colin Farrell. Like,
I didn't even know that.
That was his first, I think, big role. Because I remember watching the trailer for it, and it's like just some girl crappily singing an Ellie Goulding song. And I was like, okay, movie of the year, I guess. But no, I mean, he's a great actor. He got an Oscar nomination, I guess, like a year ago?
Yeah.
Would it be a year ago? Yeah, for Banshees of Inisherin.
Which was so good.
Insanely fantastic. Good. I love Irish people. # Irish heritage. But no, his performance was like so heartbreaking. And I wish he would stick with that. Because I think it's just like, not to be like, I think you're typecasting, but I think he is. But also like, do what you're good at. Like, obviously. And I haven't seen Birds, so I don't know how good he is in that. But I think he's just so good at playing like really like sad, heartbroken characters with like just so much love to give, but for just like a broken past. Like, ugh, like just do
that. And that can work for Joker, I think.
It can, but I feel like with Matt Reeves and like, because he was a part of the Penguin, right? Like, it was his baby project too?
No.
Oh, that's somebody different?
No. Oh. I think he just kind of produced it.
Okay, but I just feel like it's definitely going to be darker, because the Penguin was dark, especially that finale, for those who know, you know. But, like, it's dark. Like, it's really, like, you're like, oh, my God, yay. And, like, no.
Oh, jeez.
No.
Yeah, no. I really like his Matt Reeves take on a lot of stuff. I even like the Planet of the Apes movies. Those are, like, such fun. Like,
which ones did he do? Because I saw one of them over the summer.
He did the new ones.
I didn't watch that. We watched the one with...
The new one?
No, I think the... Who was it with? I can't say Andy Serkis because I think he's been involved with all of them. But it was the one where, like, the ape got raised with the family and then he beat somebody up on the street.
That was Matt Reeves.
Oh, that was? He's in all of them?
No.
I think it was Franco.
Yeah, I think you're right. I don't know. But that's the same trilogy. Those are good movies.
I like them. Jamie really likes them. So Jamie made me and Jack watch them. I really liked it. Yeah. I haven't watched any of them else since. I think I watched First Omen that night after.
First Omen. I heard that was good.
So good. I love Italians. Ugh, Italian heritage. But First Omen 2024 specifically, so good. If you like religious horror and you were disappointed by Immaculate, watch First Omen. It was insane.
That's really
cool. I watched it and I was like so grossed out because it was so like, ugh. But it was like so